What would you feel? How would you feel if you threw away $237 million? Just gone. Overnight. If you threw away $237 million, I want you to put yourself in that place, because there's a man named James Howell. He is a software guy over in the United Kingdom. He did just that. In 2013, he threw away a hard drive. He was cleaning out his apartment or his house to move, and he had two identical hard drives, and he threw one of them away in the garbage, and it's now in the city dump. And on that hard drive was 7,500 bitcoins. I don't know a lot about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is one of the cryptocurrencies. I don't know a lot about it, but apparently there's no way to get it other than to have the physical hard drive. Bitcoin this week was worth, $31,000 per Bitcoin. So his 7,500 Bitcoins is worth $237 million, and he can't get it. How would you feel? I would be kicking myself every day and every hour, thinking, like, why did I not double check? Why didn't I have somebody else, like, look this thing over? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? What would life be like had I not made this crucial mistake in throwing away this hard drive? Your heart kind of goes out to him. It's a little bit funny, but unless it's you, right? Not so funny if it's you. Now, most of us, probably none of us, I don't know, are probably ever going to have a chance to throw away $237 million on a hard drive. I don't think I will. But the Lord Jesus comes to us in the text this morning, and he wants to prevent us from experiencing and living a life of deep regret. From feeling maybe some of those same feelings as we look back at life and think, man, why did I do that? Why didn't I change my direction? Why did I not do something different? So we're in the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bible, do you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 12 and verse 13 is going to be the beginning of our text for the morning. We're going through Luke. We're in a series called Follow. The first part of Luke answers this question: who is Jesus? Who is this guy? Why did he come? He came to bring God's freedom and God's favor to all people. That's what Luke, he says in Luke chapter 4. He stands up and reads from the Isaiah 61. And then he proves that by miracles. He raises the dead. He heals the blind. He does all kinds of things. Drives out demons, showing that he's the one to bring God's freedom and favor to all people. And that crescendos into his question to Peter, and he asks Peter, who do people say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ of God. You are God's anointed, chosen king. And then in Luke 9:51, there's this interesting change in the text. Luke says, Jesus turned his face to go to Jerusalem. He turned his face to go accomplish the mission that God sent him for, to go to the cross, to die on the cross for our sins. And so from Luke 9:51 to Luke 19:44, the triumphal entry, Jesus is on a journey. That's the way Luke is presenting it. He's on a journey from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem to go to the cross. And his disciples are with him, and they're following along with him. And he is teaching them what it means to follow him. What does it look like? What are the implications? What does it require? And we've seen at the very first thing he said in this section, interestingly, he said, hey guys, it's going to be costly. You're going to follow me? It's going to be costly. You want to be part of this freedom and favor thing that God is doing in the world? It will be costly to you. He said, you're going to have to go out. There is a world that needs this message, God's freedom and God's favor. You have to go out to that world. The way in which you need to go out is in God's compassion and his mercy. He's talked about the opposition that you will face. And this morning, he comes to us with some words about how we invest the things he's given us. What we do with the resources. Financial is in the text, but I think it applies to all kinds of things. Because he wants, you got to know this, he wants good for you. We sang that song, Great is Your Faithfulness. And His faithfulness and His character surrounds everything He says to us, His care. So He comes and He says some things that are challenging to us. But He comes and He says them in a heart of wanting what is good for us. So Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 34, we are going to look at the LUMO video. I think it does a really nice job. I never thought of it. You're going to see something in here. I'm going to reference it a little bit later. I'd never thought of it quite in this way. But the LUMO project is the gospel for the visual age. We have permission to use this. They've done a great job. So let's roll the tape and show the video now, guys.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you.' Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds! Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Here we have two sections of Scripture. I love kind of how they presented it to us there. And we're going to look, there's just really three movements. We're going to look at kind of the problem that I've already kind of alluded to. That it's possible to live your life in such a way so that you get to the end of it with deep regret. Kind of like throwing away $237 million on a hard drive. It's possible, even for followers of Jesus, to live life in that way. And that's a problem. And Jesus wants us to avoid that problem. There's a solution that He's going to, it's kind of the flip side of the coin, so to speak. And then I just want to think with us, what does that mean for us? How do we think about that? How do we know where we are? What would God have us do? So the problem is this, that Jesus is getting at. It's a problem of treasure. Treasuring temporary things leaves you penniless eternally. If you treasure temporary things, this is what I think the point of this is. It is going to leave you as a pauper eternally. If we put our hope, we put our everything, our heart into things that are ultimately temporary rather than eternal, we will get into eternity and look back and maybe wonder, I wish I would have done something a little bit different. Treasuring temporary things leaves you penniless eternally. One of the most interesting things about these two, you could take these two and preach them and talk about them individually, but I think they're tied together in the text. The last verse of each section that we have in our Bible here has the same word in it. Jesus sums up this parable that he's told to these guys, and he sums it up with this verse, verse 21. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He says that person is like a rich man who had great plans to just store all his wealth and yet died that very night. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So you have the word treasure in verse 21. If you go to verse 34, you find the exact same word. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The issue that Jesus is getting at with his disciples that he wants them to consider and wants us to consider is the issue of treasure. The issue is, what is it that your heart loves? In the context here, he's probably literally talking about financial treasure. He's talking about grain in the first one. He's probably talking about money or physical things in the second issue. He's talking about material wealth, treasure. But this gets at something else, something deeper. It's what is our heart ultimately connected to in this life? What's the most important thing? And there's really only two big possibilities here. He's going to introduce, there's God and what he's doing and what he's about in this world and his kingdom. That's one possibility, that's something that you're going to treasure above everything else. And then there's everything else, which ultimately I think comes into the category of basically yourself, some form of self-gratification, be it financial, be it success in whatever endeavor you are involved in, be it family, be it whatever. Ultimately, you can only treasure, in an ultimate sense, one thing. And it will either be God or it will be something else that ultimately is about us. And these two are about the issue of treasure. And where is our treasure and what are we treasuring? And Jesus says something in verse 20 or verse 15. He says something that is very, it was countercultural in his day. It's countercultural in our day as well. We live in a materialistic time and age, and stuff can be really important. But he says, take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. And at this time, like to have abundance in the Jewish mind was to be blessed by God. Well, you have an abundance. Where does that come from? That is direct blessing from God. That means you are in right relationship with God, and he's pouring out his physical and material blessing on your life. And here's Jesus, and he's saying to these Jewish people who have that understanding, he says, be careful, because your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. I don't think we're all that different today. I think we easily equate material things, comfort, all the things we treasure and having those things, whatever they are, we equate that easily with God's blessing. And I think there can be a correlation between those. But he says, be careful. Take guard. Your life does not consist in the abundance of what you own, what you have, how much treasure that you possess, whatever that is. Now it's interesting. I think oftentimes these treasures that we have, they're very good things. If you treasure your family, man, family is a blessing. from God. But even family may not be a permanent kind of thing. You treasure your home, your property, what you have. It's a temporary kind of thing. And this is what Jesus says to the guy in the parable. He says, "You fool. You have this plan." The thing I loved in that video was how the guy, he looked so satisfied. You notice that? He had this grain. He goes through the grain. You could just imagine, you know, like, wow, we've got a great crop this year. And that's a blessing from God. But he looked so satisfied. He even did a little face. And I was like, you know, when I've read this before, I thought, wow, this is like he's a bad, greedy guy. But you just get this picture. He's just a normal farmer who just has this great crop and he's just happy about it. But what Jesus says is, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." This is the reason that it is foolish to treasure temporary things. People say this a variety of ways, you know. They never see a moving van following a hearse. People say, when the game is over, all the pieces go back in the box. Death is a very real reality. And after we die, we don't get to take our stuff with us. Treasuring temporary things leaves us penniless eternally. These things are not going to get taken with us. He says, who's going to get them? If you treasure temporary things, if you treasure like a success in this life, there's been great men and women throughout history that have done amazing things. But then there's this reality of death. And if their life has been centered only on temporary things, Jesus says they're a fool. Those things aren't going to last. He says something else in the next thing. Another reason it's foolish to treasure temporary things is because they're so transient. They grow old. He says, sell everything you have, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old. The thought is that on the other side, there are money bags that grow old. They get holes. They don't do what they were designed to do. With a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. The word there is that doesn't run out. That isn't limited in nature. That you won't come to the end of. He says, where no thief approaches. Material, physical things, they can be stolen. They can be taken either by power or by guile. And no moth destroys. It's interesting. I mean, you buy anything, right? And just wait. And the shine will be gone. If it's brand new, you buy something brand new, and in a year or two, depending on what it is, it won't look new anymore. Right? Time, chance, dings. If you get a new car, it's invariably going to get scratched and dinged and dirty. You get a new house, it's invariably going to have issues. You get a new roof, the wind is going to come and the hail is going to blow. I mean, time, stuff decays, right? He's just reminding us, that happens, no moth destroys. So it's foolish to ultimately put our treasure in things that are temporary because they're not going to last, we're not going to get to take it with us. I think there's another reality that's not in this text, but the Apostle Paul, he brings to us as well. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is true. That even the things that we do are going to be tested. So the actions we take, even if they look good on the outside, they will be tested. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, each one's work will become manifest for the day. That's the day of judgment, when everything is going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. The day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, by judgment, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And he says in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Treasuring temporary things leaves you penniless eternally. It's foolish because of the reality of death, because of the reality of the nature of the world, that we can't really hold on to stuff and keep it. There's constantly forces that are wanting to take it out of our hands. And there is a day of judgment coming when everything that we have done will be revealed. And so treasuring temporary things, it's not a good idea. And you could find yourself, if we treasure the things of this world above God and what He is about, we could find ourselves just like James Howell at the end of life. Thinking, man, I wish I had done things differently. I wish I had invested in this rather than that. I wish I had checked the hard drives before I had thrown one away. So that's the problem, but the solution that Jesus offers is just the flip side of the coin. If we treasure eternal things, there's lasting rewards associated with that. Treasuring eternal things, and there's a question in there, what are eternal things then, right? Treasuring eternal things provides lasting rewards. Treasuring eternal things provides lasting rewards. He says in verse 21, there's this idea of being rich toward God. I think this verse is interesting because he says, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself. And there's an and in there. Do you see the and? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Makes me think it's possible. You can lay up treasure for yourself. You can have stuff. I don't think this is a full condemnation of owning, of personal ownership, but there's this idea. So is one who lays up treasure toward him for himself and is not rich towards God. So there's a question, are we rich towards God? That's what he's getting at. If we're going to invest in eternal things, we're going to treasure eternal things. It means being rich towards God. It means that we are going to have a treasure in the heavens. This is this reality that in eternity, the things that we do, what we invest in this life, there's going to be some connection with that life. I don't know the rate of return or the rate of conversion, but there's a connection between how we live in this life and what we will experience in eternity. A treasure in the heavens is what he talks about. He gives a couple examples. He gives the negative example. I want to turn it around. The negative example is this fool who says this. This is a guy who is storing up treasure for himself but isn't rich towards God. He says, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, which probably were sufficient in years gone by, right? I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. That's what the parable actually says. What if we flip the parable? And I'm changing the word of Scripture. This is not this second thing. This is not the Bible. This is Seth's like musing on what would it mean if we took the positive example. What if instead the farmer said this? I will do this. I will give what doesn't fit in my current barns. I will be rich towards God. What if he'd said that? Rather than I'm gonna tear down what I have and build bigger so I can keep it all. What if he said, I have enough. God has richly provided for me. And I'm gonna see what he wants me to do with the rest of it. What if he'd done that? In the first instance, God says, you're a fool. If you want to keep it all for you, because of the reasons I've already mentioned. But in Luke 19:17, I think we have the words. What would he say to a guy who says, you know what, I have a great crop and I have more than I need. I don't need to keep it all. I'm going to look for ways to be rich towards God. In Luke 19:17, this is what, in another parable, Jesus says to a servant. He says, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. I think this is what Jesus would say if you reverse the situation. He would say, well done for being faithful. And over in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Treasuring eternal things provides lasting rewards, rewards that aren't going to go away, that aren't going to fail, that we're going to be able to hold on to and keep and experience throughout eternity. So then there's a question, what exactly is eternal? So if we shouldn't treasure temporary things, but Jesus is saying we should treasure eternal things, what are those things that are eternal? I think he gives us a couple clues. In verse 25, he says this to people. He's saying, hey, don't be anxious. Don't worry about all the things that people normally worry about. He says, consider the ravens. Look at them. Look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither a storehouse nor a barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And he's letting us in on this thing that, you know, in our culture, there's people out there that say, well, humans are just more highly evolved animals. We're all equal, humans and animals, and there's some interesting things at work today. But the Bible doesn't really allow for that. Animals are valuable, and God created them, and they have a place in this world. But human beings are created in the image of God. And we're in a special category. And Jesus is saying, of how much more value are you than the birds? Human beings have an eternal soul, and they are going to live in eternity with God forever, or in a place of judgment forever. Human beings are eternal. I think he's letting us in on one of the things we can invest in. If you want to invest in eternity, you want to treasure eternal things, treasure people. Because they're created in the image of God, they're more valuable than any animal. But it's not just treasuring people, I don't think. Because a little later he says this. He says, all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, he says, seek his kingdom. So we treasure people, but people in a direction towards God's kingdom. That there's many people in our life, they need the message of the gospel. Maybe they need to grow in their understanding of what that means. Maybe they need to become free from the things that are binding them up. Maybe they need to be healed from some of the wounds that they have. Maybe God needs to unleash his freedom and his favor into different areas of their life. That's why Jesus came. And that is an eternal thing. Seek his kingdom. His kingdom is going to go on and on and on forever. So if we invest in people who are going to reside in his kingdom, and we treasure his kingdom above anything else in our life, that is an eternal investment. And it's interesting what he says in the last part of the verse. If you do this, seek his kingdom. And then he says, look at this promise. This is a beautiful promise. We sang that song, Great is Your Faithfulness. This is his promise. Seek his kingdom. And then he says, and these things, the things that we worry about, what you will eat, what you will wear, where you will live, these things will be added to you. That doesn't mean he's going to give us everything that we want. I drive an old, starting to get rusty, Toyota Corolla, but it only has 125,000 miles on it, and that thing's going to go for a long time. The body's going to fall apart before the engine gives out. Guarantee it. But it gets me around. This doesn't mean that he's going to, I'm going to have like the nicest car and everything I've ever dreamed about, but he's going to take care of us. If we seek his kingdom and treasure his kingdom, then the king of that kingdom has bound himself. I will take care of you. That's a pretty awesome promise. Pretty awesome promise. He says something interesting here. He says in verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. How do we treasure God's kingdom? We have this fool, this example of this fool. He had a lot. He had a great year. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? I'm going to accumulate for me. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to keep it all for me. He had what I would call a mindset of accumulation. Jesus is commanding us as his disciples to go directly against the mindset of accumulation. And he says, sell your possessions. Does this mean that we can't own anything? I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's trying to combat the mindset of accumulation. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. There's a question in there. What kind of mindset do we have? Do we have a mindset of, hey man, I had a great year, so we're going to keep it all. We're going to do that thing we've always been dreaming about. And there's a time and a place for that, you know? Like I don't think this is legalistic, but the question is, how am I thinking about this? What am I treasuring? Am I treasuring God and his kingdom, or am I treasuring what I want? Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. And then he says, and the implication is when you do that, when you don't have a mindset of accumulation but a mindset of generosity, you provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, and where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. This is part of laying up treasure for yourself in heaven. So if it's a bad idea and foolish to treasure just the temporary things that most everybody we are so prone to treasure, because that will ultimately leave you penniless eternally. If on the other side we ought to treasure eternal things, people, God's kingdom, God himself, who we're going to live with forever, I think the takeaway for the morning is very, very easy. We should treasure eternal things rather than temporary things. Now you look at that and you're like, oh, okay, well, I treasure eternal things. I treasure eternal things. How do you know? How do you know if you really treasure eternal things? I was asking myself that this week. Jesus says in this verse, I think he gives us a clue. He tells his disciples, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will put on. I think he's trying to help us figure out, what is it that we treasure? What are you anxious about? What am I anxious about? Are we anxious about the financial situation that we have in our life? Are we anxious about our family? Are we anxious about the politics of the day? Are we anxious about, there's so many things to be anxious about, right? And I think there's a connection between what we're anxious about and what we treasure. Whatever it is you treasure is going to cause you fear and anxiety if it's threatened. So what are you anxious about? That is a diagnostic question that points to what it is we treasure. How many of us, and I think this is for me, how anxious am I for the lost people that live around me, the people who don't know Jesus? Does that cause me any anxiety? For people who've never heard the gospel, does that put any fear in me? For people who are bound up in just destructive sin patterns, whether inside the church or outside of the church, what causes me anxiety? That anxiety, that fear, it is a direct arrow pointing to what we treasure. And if the answer to that is anything other than God, his kingdom, or the people that he created, then we are in danger of treasuring things that are temporary. And if we are treasuring things that are temporary, then we are in danger of throwing the hard drive away. Treasure eternal things. What is it that makes you anxious? It points to what you treasure. We also, in this, we've got to trust. We've got to trust God's provision. He says this wonderful thing. This is one of the reasons we're anxious, right? But he says, your Father knows that you need them. But God, we need this or we need that. Or, you know, we're concerned about our kids, or we're concerned about school, we're concerned about our grandkids, we're concerned about work, we're concerned about all these things. But he says, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. He says, your Father, he knows that you need them. You can trust him. I think another way we do this is being rich toward God. Being rich towards God. Now, there's a financial aspect to this. Our finances point to our priorities. There is a financial aspect to this, but there's also like a time aspect to this. How do I invest my time? There's a skills. You know, what do I do with the gifts that God has given me? Am I using them to build his kingdom or just for me? This is getting at this thing. Do we have an accumulation lifestyle? Like everything in my life is pointed towards me. Or do we have a generosity mindset where I think, man, I'm going to give whatever it is God's given me, and I'm going to trust that he's going to take care of me and meet my needs. It doesn't all have to be pointed at me. It doesn't have to be, I don't have to build bigger barns. Treasure eternal things. And the secret to all this is, don't miss this, because you could go out of here, and you could say, okay, I'm supposed to treasure eternal things. That's what the pastor said. And so I'm going to go out, and I'm going to try hard, and I'm going to treasure eternal things. And you'll get to like 2:30, and you'll be done. Right, treasuring eternal things will be exhausted by that point. But the secret of this is that you, if you're a follower of Jesus, the God of all creation loved you so much that he treasured you. And he didn't keep what he had to himself. But he gave generously. He sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was his most precious relationship. He sent him to earth to be just brutalized by sinful, broken humanity so that he could die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. So you want to treasure eternal things, you got to focus on that you have been treasured. And God has lavished his grace and his goodness and his kindness on you. And the only right response is to say, Lord, I want to make your priorities my priorities. Jesus comes and he says, guys, I don't want you to experience great loss. I don't want you to come to the end of your life and have God say to you, you invested your life foolishly. I don't want you to be like James Howell, who lost and threw away $237 million and lives with great regret today. The question is, what are we going to treasure? Are we going to treasure God and his kingdom and the people he's made? Are we going to treasure all the other stuff that wants our attention? So, Lord, thank you for your word. This text is a challenge. It is, Lord, it's difficult. It gets into the real places that we live, Lord, our real priorities. And I know for me that I don't always treasure you. Father, I treasure other things in my life. I ask that you would open my eyes to those things that I'm treasuring more than you. Lord, for security and comfort and control and all the things that we are so prone to treasure. Lord, I pray that I would trust you with all the stuff. Lord, I pray that you would make us even more a generous and generosity-minded people. Lord, that we would look at the things that you've entrusted to us, not as ours, but as ultimately as yours, and as things that we can invest here and now for eternity, Lord. And I pray that you would use those things to do amazing, amazing things. Lord, I think of the young people who were up here on stage this morning. And we just pray that they would see in the grown-ups in this church, people who follow you, who give generously to them, that we would lavish your grace and kindness on them. Or that they would grow up to become men and women who love you with all that they are. Or because you are worthy of that. We pray these things in your name. Amen.